Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if one small story could make a big impact on your child's life? Today's guest has created a character that kids won't forget, Chito, a curious and restless little fly who just wants adventure but ends up learning something much bigger. In her book, That the Lord May Whistle, author Twyla DeConste turns an important concept, Sabbath, rest, and respect, into a fun and meaningful journey that children can actually understand and enjoy. And here's the challenge many parents face. How do you teach faith in a way that truly connects with kids? Twyla has spent years working with children in ministry, and she's found a way to do exactly that through storytelling. Today, she shares how one simple story can open the door to deeper conversations about faith, purpose, and family. If you're a parent, grandparent, or anyone who wants to inspire the next generation, this is a conversation you won't want to miss. A children's book that makes faith fun. That the Lord May Whistle, and author Twyla DeConste is our guest on This Week in America. Twyla, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today to talk about this story.
Well, thank you so very much, Rick. It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
I love what you've done with this and how you've taken this concept and made it fun for children and adults alike who are reading the book along with the children. What's the inspiration behind Chito's journey? How did this all begin for you?
It was purely the Lord, Rick. Absolutely. I was with my mother in Central California. We were at a bistro, and I just started writing on a napkin. The Lord just prompted me to write, and I just started writing. And before we got our food, before the food was brought to our table, I had completed the story on both the front and the back of the napkin, or paper napkin. And then about a week or maybe, I'm not sure, maybe a few days later, or maybe a couple of weeks later, I was having my time with the Lord, and I was reading the Bible, and he prompted me to go to a scripture. And I was reading it, and then I read a couple of verses, and I read down where he wanted me to see, and it was about the Lord. That the Lord made whistle for the fly, and then I knew that's what he wanted to name the book. So it was all the Lord.
It's amazing how that story came about. The book is available, of course, wherever books are sold, and I'll give you Twyla's website as we go through the course of the interview today. It's on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can log on and link on directly to Twyla's website, information on the book, and order it there as well. Talk about developing the character Chito. Chito has really made an impact with young people. They love the character. How do you develop Chito the Fly?
I believe Chito is just a composite of all the children that I've worked with. Some were pretty reticent. Some were more flamboyant and easily to express themselves. And so it just came through that, because Chito was the type of person that he likes to go his own way. But then there's children that would love to go their own way that would actually use him as their voice. So I think it speaks both to children that are outgoing and more boisterous than other children, have their own way, and then the ones who don't are very reticent, and they would like to be very much like Chito.
Talk about your background in ministry in dealing with children. You started as a child yourself at 11 years old. Talk about the background in dealing with various children in countries other than in the United States and how that background came into play as you were writing this story.
I think it was more like osmosis. I delight in teaching children about the Lord. And at 11 years old, it was just a small church off in the military base my father was stationed at. And I just remember that setting about how to engage children, because it was like I was 11, so I had to learn to write my own Bible story for every Sunday. And it just came from that. It's just how to engage children, basically, was just the beginning of how that started. Yeah.
It's interesting. How has that evolved over the years? You've worked with children your entire life, continuing to do that now. Is it different how you approach children? How is their attention span, I guess, is what I'm asking now. Everybody spends time in front of screens. Storytelling is sort of a lost art. We'll talk about that in a second. But how's it been in adapting to what it takes to reach a child, get the message through, and get them engaged in the conversation?
Exactly. Yes, because I know when I was an assistant teacher in public school, It's a little bit more difficult to engage children. You have to have the props as far as like puppets or just saying the right words to engage them. And especially if you're sitting in circle time in a public school, and you have to kind of get everybody in unison. And it was good because it was very challenging, but it taught me a lot about how to engage different children that even don't know about the Lord, and how to pique their interest and how to keep them engaged so they don't wander off and they disturb the others in the circle. So God gave me a lot of skills to take from this.
Well,
this is just pretty much what Cheeto's about, yes.
Well, yeah, it's interesting how you go about presenting the theme of the Sabbath and other themes in the book as well. How do you develop that and capture a child's attention who may be very unfamiliar with what you're talking about in the book?
Absolutely. So with that, it would be just a lot of children don't know who the king is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And one day he's coming back for us. And it's just that excitement of someone coming back to rescue, someone coming back who really loves them, no matter how what they are. They can be as stinky as a fly. God counts all of us. He knows all of us. He counts us all worthy. And it's a lot of children don't have that self-image, or they have a very distorted self-image or a very fractured self-image of who they are from programming. And it's being able to relate to somebody as stinky and filthy as a fly that God counts worthy, and the king is coming back.
How exciting is that, invigorating for you to be able to lay the foundation with many of these children? For the first time, they've heard these stories, these concepts. You're the one that's presenting it to them. That has to be really a very important positive aspect of what you're doing in storytelling and in writing the book. The fact that you are telling them and laying this out and do it in such a wonderful way. The book is That the Lord May Whistle, and the book is available wherever books are sold. Twyla's website, now her name is Twyla DeCoste. Her website is her name, Twyla, T-W-Y-L-L-A, DeCoste, D-E-C-O-S-T-E. Her website, TwylaDeCosteAuthor.com. You can link onto that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Take you directly there to get information, order the book there as well. How long did it take you to write the book? Once you get the initial concept, you really feel that the Lord is speaking to you, that this is the message that he wants you to tell. How long did it take to write the book?
To actually conclude the whole book in its entirety, it was one of those things, Rick, that I wrote the story, and then it took, as I said, it was on the front and back of the napkin, and then when I went and put it into a manuscript form, I started adding more things into it, more places that he traveled and this type of thing, more interaction, and I had to cut it way down because it needed to be a 32 book, and I had to edit out so much dialogue and scenes. And so it was one of those things where it was just this huge project, and then I had to just keep cutting and chopping and getting it down to a 30-page book.
Talk about the concept of storytelling, especially when it's well done. This really is powerful, and oftentimes it's so simple. I think maybe it's overlooked in communication, but it's really powerful, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. When you can engage a child and see the wonderment in their eyes. That's the greatest thing you can offer a child, is just to engage them, see the wonderment in their eyes, and then watch how their mind takes off that, I am special. This is important, and there's someone who loves me. And it's just wonderful to see that rise in a child.
Talk about how you go about getting the message across. It's all framed in Bible verse and making your message that way. Talk about writing it that way, because it's more than just getting a message across, isn't it? There are a whole lot of elements to your story.
Absolutely. And this story speaks a lot to different people. I've had a young man just recently tell me, it was such a nice thing for him to say, that he identified with this character. And he thanked me for it, and I'm very grateful that he shared that with me. It's nice to live vicariously through something other than yourself. When you're relating to something that's much more higher than yourself, you don't feel like you're equal to anybody, especially someone as great as the King of Kings. And when you put that in the hearts of children, when they really understand it and grasp it, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, you do that through the power of the character you've created. Chito goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, that I was asking about creating this character that everybody seems to be relatable to. It's a character that comes alive, a lovable character, and they're following intensely the story and what's going on in Chito's life. Talk about who this book is designed for.
This book is designed for every child, every parent, every grandparent. It's just all about reflection, reflective time. It's about, you know, God created the Sabbath for us. He talks about it in the Old Testament, about how he came and when he led the people out of exile. The whole thing was he talked to them about the importance of Sabbath, and that was in the Old Testament. And he gave it, you know, Jesus is the king of Shabbat. And so when he built everything he built, he made science, he made everything, physiology, everything he made, math, he created all of this. And so, and you know, the earth and the planets and the universe, the stars, he created everything. And then he had a day of rest. That was Sabbath. That was Shabbat. And then when Jesus was born, of course, he was the Prince of Peace and the King of Shabbat. So it's very important for us to stop and reflect, because the days get really, really hectic, especially now. And it's very important for us to just to stop and reset and start fresh. And he gives us this gift for 24 hours, and we need to respect this gift. And we have it right to choose it or accept it. But when we don't accept it, we're so harried and frayed throughout the week. And I think this is a really good milestone for children to realize the importance of just stepping back and reflecting and then getting recharged for the next week that comes up. And for parents and grandparents as well.
Sabbath is something that I can remember as a child. Everything was closed on Sunday. It was a day of rest and reflection and church going. And along the way, we've lost that to the point now where Sabbath is something you really don't hear a lot of. Is it really important now, maybe more important than ever, to talk about the Sabbath and teaching rest and reflection on that day?
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of people, they misconstrue what Sabbath is. They think it's just going to boring church or going to boring Sunday school or what have you, like Cheeto. but it's all about celebrating life and who God is, who Christ is, and just taking time, just spending time with your family, your friends. You don't talk about business. You don't talk about anything. You just enjoy the 24 hours for what it is. And if that means going to a fellowship, then you go to fellowship. Basically, it would be better because then you would get fed the word of the Lord. But it's just taking steps. It's just appreciating who he is, even if you're by yourself. Just appreciating who he is and just going about your day and enjoying and relaxation. So it's very important for people to realize that, especially adults that have such a heavy load. And then, you know, imprint that in children so that way they can learn to appreciate life and not be harried by the things that's going on around them.
Of course, the new thing now is trying to get over the guilt of not working. We're guilty because we're only working an 8-hour day and we're not necessarily available 16 hours a day, and dealing with a whole day off is really takes some focus and concentration. And you bring back the importance of that in the book, That the Lord May Whistle. Our guest is Twyla DeCoste. She's worked in Christian children's ministry in Asia, the United States, as I mentioned, since the age of 11. Also volunteered as a mentor for after-school homework programs, helped students develop at-risk preteen and teen curriculums, retired from a Fortune 500 company, lives in Las Vegas. Let's talk a little bit about what was it at an early age that got your attention? We're talking about children and getting the message, getting the attention that the topic deserves. What was it that got your attention? Was it a relative? Was it someone that got you interested in faith and learning about the Lord?
My mother, yes, my mother. She's big on faith. And as far as children, that's something that God put on me. I had a love for children since I was younger than 11. So I've always loved children. And God, it was always steering me towards that, even with my brothers and my little sister, speaking about different Bible books that my mom would get us back then. They were like the Dell books.
Oh, yes, children's yes. Books.
I love those. Yes, and I would get them around me and sit them around me at a very early age, you know, 4 and 5 years old. and talk to them, even if I didn't understand the words. I remember what my mother said, and I would sit and I would talk to them about breaking the manna and having breaking the bread and having plenty of loaves of bread and keep breaking it, and the fish and that, and the supernatural power behind that was just so amazing to me. And so then I would get my brothers and my sister, and I would sit and I would preach to them about this, and I would literally preach. I'd have my storybook. So I've done this at a very early age, being with children and wanting to be with children, wanting to be with neighbor kid children, and telling them, sharing with them about this as well. So yeah, it was just kind of something that the Lord brought to me, as far as wanting to be with children and share the gospel, the story of the great King of Kings.
How important is that to get the lesson to children at a particularly young age? And I would think at some point they're less interested in hearing about it, but you captured them in that 4, 8, 10-year-old category where they're really, I think, receptive to the message, aren't they?
They very much are, because children, especially in the age of 4, they're to the point where they're almost at 5 years old, where they just really want to almost establish their identity. And at 5, they pretty much have it, what they want as far as who they want to be, as far as if they want to be reticent or if they want to be outgoing or, you know, analytical. You know, it's already set there. So with that, you just, you know, when you speak to a 4-year-old right there, they're like a sieve. They're really hungry at 4 years old. They want to learn as much as they can about everything, you know. They want to be fed. They want to learn it. And so 4 years old are really, really eager to get that information and be able to go and tell other people about it. They like to share this information. Look what I know. Look what I got. So it's very engaging in that respect. Absolutely.
You do your job as an author in reaching out to these young people, getting the message out, doing it in an entertaining and educational way. What's the role of the parent, maybe the grandparent after this, to follow through? I'm thinking by using your example of storytelling, this really opens up a lot of possibilities for parents, doesn't it, in interacting with the young person?
Yes, absolutely. I think you know, it's just like when you're being a teacher, a student teacher, a teacher. It's like you're teaching a lesson or you're training a child with a syllabus that you have. But in the same respect, you're also learning from it. It's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize this before. So you're actually getting that information from a different aspect. And I think with parents and teachers and grandparents and guardians and that type of thing, I think this is a really good tool for them to be able to understand what God has in store for us. You know, you're reading the story, but then you're also gleaning from it what God wants you to glean from it. And it's very rewarding to have that aha moment. Like, for instance, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock the door shall be opened unto you. Well, I used to read that as a child. I read it all through high school, read it in college. And then all of a sudden, one day, I was in an antique shop in the Northwest, and I was speaking the gospel to a person that owned the store. And all of a sudden, I realized it was an acronym. Honest, it was just so great. And she got a kick out of me laughing. And then I had explained to her what it was about. And she goes, oh, that is great. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's just that those kind of aha moments that God kind of withholds from us. And then all of a sudden, when he's ready for us to receive, it just blooms. It's so amazing. And I believe that's what it would be with parents and guardians and teachers. Getting that kind of an aha realization as well. I would hope that they would be able to understand that and receive that.
Well, it's interesting because I've seen some reviews where parents, when they're interacting with their child and the children are reading the book to them, they're reading the book with the child, they're going through and talking it. This opens up a whole new area for them. As I mentioned, everybody's busy. Everybody works at Sunday. It's another work day. I'm going to go ahead and work. All of a sudden, it brings into focus what they intended the Sabbath was. So it's a valuable book, not just for kids, but for their parents as well, isn't it?
I would hope so. Yes, absolutely. Because not only that, they're sitting down, they're actually engaging with the child.
Yes.
And like you mentioned before, you know, some of the hours, some people work 4-10, some people work 8 hours, some people work less than that. But then during the rest of that, they're busy doing other things, multitasking and that type of thing. So it's a good way just to sit down and just take a moment. And especially when you're able to engage a child that had a busy day or kind of a day where he wasn't engaged in school or with his friends or for whatever reason, it's nice to have that time with your son or daughter or with your foster child or grandmother with their child. And she grandmother comes over, it's really nice to have something different to engage with besides just bringing them presents and that type of thing. This would be really nice to be able to sit down and have something to share about and talk about in the future, you know, whenever she comes over and all about that. I think it's really a good tool for that. Have common interest with that.
And this is a book that's great for the family library. It's good for your kids. They can use it with their kids. You can use it and share with others in the family, others in the neighborhood. You've got a birthday coming up, a child in the neighborhood. This is a perfect idea for that. A couple of minutes left in the program. I mentioned something just in going through some background there with you did a pilot for public television on latchkey children. I can remember years ago, that's all anybody was talking about was latchkey children. That was the big topic at the time, doing TV shows on it, interview after interview. Don't hear a lot about it now. Does that mean we've solved the problem or we've just moved on to something else?
I think we've just kind of like rephrased it. And I think that we're aware of it, but I don't think I think Boys and Girls Club populated a lot more Boys and Girls Clubs. Used to be called just the Boys Club of USA, and then it became the Boys and Girls Clubs. And I think it created that momentum, which is wonderful, because I have my son in that. I think there's a lot of other, like Christian cell groups that engage children, especially for after school and that type of thing. I think that the awareness, it became very much aware, especially with at-risk kids. They felt more... they felt that there was more of a climate that they could go to and be accepted no matter where they came from. So I think it raised an awareness for a lot of us here in the United States. I think it was a great thing, absolutely.
I mentioned that your involvement with after-school homework programs. Talk about that just briefly here. We've got a couple of minutes left. And the importance of where the child feels they have a place to go and somebody is interested in them rather than maybe go home to almost an empty home where parents are rushing around getting all of their stuff done. I have somebody's attention now and they're focused on helping me. What's that like to be part of something as successful as you mentioned as the after-work programs?
Well, it was so rewarding for me because I was able to, I did a lot of different things. I organized sports groups. I organized like races, actual relay races, a lot of things that involve sports because sports is so good. Endorphins fly and the kids really wake up. Oh my gosh, it was so rewarding. And I give prizes and a lot of the prizes were little like books in Spanish about the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, we'd have picnics at the school. We'd have field trips. It was after-school homework clubs. I was involved in that. And it was always a reward afterwards. It was always a reward. And it was so rewarding to see somebody that just didn't get something. You know, like, for instance, I did a lot of the artwork, like crocheting and hairpin lace and all these different kinds of things that we use with our hands. And children that were very astute. I saw that sometimes they got it and sometimes they didn't, but it was just really rewarding to see it when they did get it and be able to go from there and use that for like making projects and bringing them back to me and showing me what they did. It was so neat to be able to see this. Somebody that had their head buried in math and was very astute as opposed to someone who had their head buried in math and didn't understand it. And then after this, they didn't give up. They had this I can do attitude. And it was just really rewarding, especially in the running and the races and the, it was, I could go on, but anyway, it was just such a great thing to be able to sponsor that and work with the children.
I love your enthusiasm and what a blessing you've been in the lives of so many young people. Let's, as we wrap things up here, let's talk a little bit about what you plan on doing with this book that the Lord may whistle. You're touching so many people. Are you working on another book?
Well, I have a lot of books that that are pending publishing, but this particular book, it just may be a sequel.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
Nice. Well, you'll have to go back, find a restaurant that's got, paper napkins so you can sit there. Linen, they might not like you taking notes on that, but you were there at a place that had a paper napkin. You were able to write that down, to go home and pursue it. And the end result is that the Lord may whistle. The guest, the author, is Twyla DeCoste. That's T-W-Y-L-L-A, DeCoste, D-E-C-O-S-T-E. Her website is very simple, twyladecosteauthor.com. And you'll get that link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book is available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. A link on to her website at our website, as I say, thisweekinamerica.us. Twyla, congratulations on the success of this book and what you've done, a remarkable life that you've done in shaping the lives of these young people and so many that you've impacted. And I'm sure they've taken that knowledge and the love that you showed them and passed it along to their children. It's just an amazing legacy that you're building. And thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you so very much for having me, Rick. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Twyla DeCoste is our guest. The book is That the Lord May Whistle, book available wherever books are sold. You can listen to this and all of our guests on 28 podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and more. Also available on Facebook, LinkedIn, and beyond. This Week in America. While you're there, like, comment if you would, and be sure to subscribe.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.